Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here on a long weekend. Was that amazing worship? Just the harmony of that worship together and the trumpet. I think there's something special about that trumpet. It's like it breaks through. You just feel like you're really impacting earth with heaven's voices. So good to see you all. And I'm excited to share with you today. When Pastor Brent asked if I would share on a psalm, I knew exactly which psalm I wanted to share on, which is Psalm 23. And that's because, as we know, as a church family, last year we were asked to choose a vision verse. And I had just come out of a season that was really intense, really busy for a long period of time. And what God put on my heart was Psalm 23, especially the first few verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. It's that secret that Paul talks about. I've learned to be content regardless of what season I am in life. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He doesn't force me. But because of the environment he creates in my heart and my mind and my spirit, because of my relationship with him, it just makes me lie down. You know that feeling when you have an experience and it's like, and you just do a big sigh, and it's like, that's sort of that feeling when you know God's got you. That security. He makes me lie down in green pastures, always in good places. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. So those were my vision verses for 2023. And I was excited about 2024, pressing into God, saying, okay, God, what am I going to meditate on? What am I going to be a student of in 2024? What verse? And I thought God was going to take me to something that was really deep and theological. And it was just the next verse. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I tell you, those few verses over the last 2 years have just been so transformational in my life, from my mind to my heart, of really getting a deeper understanding and revelation of what that means. For the Lord to be my shepherd, the Lord is your shepherd. What does that mean? Because when we really understand the depth of that, and that's the awesome thing about being a student of God's word, it's like it never gets old. It's always fresh. There's always something new in it. And that reminds me of a story I once read about students of the word of God. Some of you might be familiar with Professor Edwin Orr. He is a theological professor from Wheaton University in the U.S., and 1 year he decided, or he might have done it more years, he took his students to England to have them experience like some of the past of the Reformation, the revivals, and to visit some of those places. So they had their students on the bus, and they arrived at the Epworth Rectory, which was the home of John Wesley. And as many of you are familiar with John Wesley, he was a great reformer who was part of leading a revival in the 1700s. So the students were excited. They got off the bus. They went into the home, and they toured the kitchen where John Wesley made food and sat with friends and had many discussions. They went into the parlor where it was his study. Then they went upstairs to his bedroom where he slept, where God restored his soul. And Professor Orr pointed out two spots beside the bed where John Wesley was believed to pray for hours each day, interceding, pressing into the heart of God, asking God for revival, because at that time there was just a sense in their spirits that there was an apathy that had come over the church. It was a time of immorality, of people falling into a place of confusion and not being clear of what the voice of the shepherd was saying or how to follow that voice. So he was praying for revival day after day after day after day. So the students, they got a vision of that. And they went back to the bus, and Professor Orr, he counted the students on the bus, and a student was missing. So we went back into the house, searched through the house, went up to the bedroom, and there he heard one of the students. Heard one of the students who heard that because of John Wesley's prayers and the prayers of many other saints who were interceding for God to break through, that heaven actually did break through and revival broke out. And not only did it break out in the UK and England, it spread to North America and around the world. So this student was there interceding, had his knees in that same place in the carpet and was saying, God, do it again. God, do it again and do it with me. So Professor Orr went around the bed, put his hand on the shoulder of this student and said, it's time to go now. Let's get on the bus. And with that, Billy Graham stood up and joined the other students on the bus. And then God did it again. He did it through Billy Graham. He did it through the prayers of John Wesley and the other great reformers. And I got to tell you today, God wants to do it with us. He wants to do it with you. Is that something worth getting excited about? We serve the same God today as we did yesterday. In fact, the prophet Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 3, verse 2, I have heard of your fame. I have stood in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat it again in our day. That has been the cry of the followers of Jesus. That has been the cry of those who have made that claim that the Lord is my shepherd. Their hearts have been stirred for the things that are on the heart of God. And that same desire as Habakkuk had, as John Wesley had, as Billy Graham had, for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, all started because of relationship. Relationship with the Good Shepherd. You know, throughout the Bible, sheep, shepherds, how many times do you think it's mentioned throughout the Bible? Does anyone have like an idea? 500 times. Like, how many of you own sheep? Anyone here own a sheep? You guys have sheep? Might have to call you up after. Share a few things. Call me out if I say anything wrong about sheep, okay? But I do have a little experience with sheep. But I have to tell you, from a group of us this big who want to claim the reason we're here is because we have that declaration, that label over our lives that says, the Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes we don't know a lot about the context of that. A shepherd was the first profession mentioned in the Bible. We see throughout the Bible this imagery of a shepherd and sheep. And there's something profound in that that I think can totally change our walk with God, what it means for him to lead and us to follow. Mike and I lived in Europe for a few years, and during that time when we were in Malta, which is very close to Italy, for those of you who aren't sure where that small island is, it's actually an island. This is sort of a side note. As you may know, Paul was shipwrecked on Malta for 3 months. And the transformation on that island that you still see today as a result of him being there for 3 months is really quite astounding. His fingerprints are everywhere. In the naming of streets, in the number of churches, in so much of the history that is still alive and well today. One person can make a huge impact when they're following the leading of the shepherd. So when we were in Malta, usually at the end of every day, we would go for a walk. It was about a 30-minute walk for us to go from our flat to the cliffs of the Mediterranean Sea. And so Mike and I, we would walk single file through the village on the sidewalks because they're very narrow. And on the way, we would usually see a few friends. One of the friends that we would usually see each day was Charlie. And at the end of each day, he had finished harvesting crops and his door would be open and he'd be cleaning and sorting the crops. And we usually could smell about a block away exactly what crop he was harvesting. So Mike and I would talk about that and kind of joke and say hi to Charlie as we were going by. But we had two other friends that every day expected our visit. And because they expected our visit, regardless if it felt like 54 degrees out with the humidity, we walked that half hour and did the trip. And if it was days in the winter where it was blowing and cold and rainy, we went because we knew they were expecting our trip. So I want to introduce you to George and Shakira. Here's a short video clip. Here comes Shakira.
Hey, Shakira.
And the sheep.
Oh, he must have been laying down.
So you couldn't hear the volume of George's bray when he would hear us coming. I got to tell you, the exuberance in his voice when he heard us coming was worth the walk. Every day. And they knew that we had carrots, so we were providing for some of their needs. And I tell you, knowing that they were waiting for us each day made us always make the trek. See, George and Shakira became our friends because we went and we saw them every day. They heard our voices. They knew our voices. In fact, if we were a block away and we were downwind, he would start to bray in advance, knowing we were on our way. See, God has created us with senses, eyes, ears, a voice that respond to him as he is our shepherd. He leads and we follow. So I want to read to you from John 10, verses 1 to 5. This is what Jesus says. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice." Now we're going to jump to verse 27. If you underline in your Bible, underline this. If you want a verse to memorize, memorize this. Verse 27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You see how that cuts all the confusion? Do you think in today's society there's some confusion? Yes. We hear about the confusion all the time. But the beautiful thing is when the Lord is my shepherd, there is no confusion. I keep my eyes on the shepherd. And when I say he is the Lord, that means he is the master. He is the owner. I have placed myself under his authority. I take captive in obedience to the mind of Christ every thought that crosses my mind. And I bring it into obedience to the mind of Christ so that my mind becomes transformed into the mind of Christ. Because he is my master. He is my Lord. I bow to what he thinks. I bow to what he says. I do not bow into what society says, because is that confusing or what? That's where confusing thoughts start getting mixed up in our minds and in our hearts. And when we try to mix the voice of the world that can seem so logical with the voice of the shepherd, we get a diluted kind of walk and we can't walk forward with confidence. And God is saying to us today, I am your shepherd. Follow me. And when our ears are tuned into his voice and we allow him to lead and we follow, there's peace that comes into our hearts. So understanding a little bit of even cultural context in those days, as we said, being a shepherd was a very common profession. And in general, typically, most shepherds in Jesus' days had about 100 sheep that they were responsible for. So that at the end of the day, the shepherds, let's say there's about 10 of them, would come together with their 100 sheep, so about 1,000 sheep, and they bring them into the sheepfold at night. You saw those rock fences where Shakira and George were? Fences very similar to that, not too high, but large enough, large pens to hold approximately 1,000 sheep. So the shepherds would bring their sheep together. They would go in through the gate. And typically one shepherd would stay behind. He was the porter. He stood in the opening. And he was the gatekeeper for the sheep. And the other 9 shepherds, they would return to the village for the night. They get rested up. They come out in the morning. Well, overnight, these 1,000 sheep got all mixed up together, right? They're wandering around within the pen. So how did each shepherd get their sheep to follow them as they're now going to bring them out and find green pastures and still water for them? They very simply used their voice. They would call their sheep, and when they called the sheep, their ears would perk, and it's like, that's my master. That's my master. I'm heading. I'm following him. And those 100 sheep would follow that shepherd. Then the next shepherd would come. He would call his sheep. Those sheep would go, that's my shepherd. And those 100 sheep would follow him. So people in Jesus' days that heard the message understood what it meant, where the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. Jesus wasn't saying there aren't a lot of voices out here. He was saying, I am the good shepherd. If you follow me, I will give you all of the benefits that David listed in Psalm 23. If you put me at a place in your life where I am Lord over your life, where you declare that I am your shepherd, then believe me, I've got you. I've got you covered no matter what comes your way. And Jesus said then, in John 14, verse 6. And this might not always be politically correct today, but he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus spelled it out very, very clear that he is the way, the only way, and that might not be popular, but it is the only way. Some people might say, well, if God is so loving and there's 7 billion people in the world, how could there only be one way? This seems unreasonable. Although that might be a good question, it isn't the right question. The right question is, how could a God who is so holy provide any way for us to come into relationship with him? How could he provide any way? Jesus was the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world to make a way for all of us to follow him, to enter into his rest. And when you make that decision that the Lord is my shepherd, it changes everything. It changes everything in your life because it is your focal. It gives you vision. It gives you clarity of where you're going to go, how you're going to go, at the pace you're going to go, because he leads you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that is worth celebrating, because a good shepherd leads us in paths of righteousness. He takes care of all the details. And when you make the Lord your shepherd, you are part of the family of God. What a joy that is, to belong, to be part of the family of God, to find a place where you can settle, where you can rest, where you can be secure, because all of your needs will be provided for you. You know he's got you covered even when things don't look great. It's like, I know he's going to take care of things for me. You know, sometimes in our families, we all have our little nuances, things that people on the outside might not understand. So one thing with our daughter that I did when she was a teenager, you know, the worst thing you can do with a teenager is embarrass them in public. Would you agree? Parents, this is 101, parenting for teenagers. Never embarrass them in public. So I can remember sometimes with Kara, like, sitting in church, and they often sat behind us with some friends, and, you know, when you hear that rumbling, and you can start feeling your blood pressure going up a bit, where you're like, stop the talking. And all I would need to do, I didn't need to turn around, I'd make this little noise. Could you hear that? It was subtle, but she knew that meant stop. Next could be embarrassment. So there was usually quite a great response to the little. Or we could be in a different setting. Maybe it was a setting at school with friends, and I noticed something that I knew she'd get a kick out of too. And I'd go, shh, shh. She'd be like, yeah, that's funny. It was our little code between the two of us that we didn't have to say much, but whether it was a situation of correction or direction or just entertainment, we had this little code where lots was said with really nothing being said. Every family has their own kind of inside culture that says a lot without saying a lot. And so for us, being part of the family of God, there are so many benefits of having the Lord as our shepherd. So when you think about that first title verse, the Lord is my shepherd, when we nail that, when we grab hold of it, when we say in life, this is the only thing I'm going to hold on to with both hands and I won't let go. And the other things of life, we do everything we can to keep our hands open and give it back to God, that we trust him. And it can be easy to say that with some things, but when we have to trust him with our health, when we have to trust him with our finances, when we have to trust him with our children, when we trust him with our future, all of those things that we just really want to hold on tight to, and God says, believe me, if I am your shepherd, hold on to that. That will never disappoint you. That will never fall apart on you. It will be here now and it will be there for eternity, but learn to let go of everything else. When we get in our journey with God and our confidence builds more and more to hold on to that, responsibility. That's our role. And then from there, all of the benefits listed in Psalm 23 flow into our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He refreshes me. He renews me. He refurbishes me. He restarts me. He reboots me. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. To build his kingdom, not for my glory, not for my honor, but for his. He will lead me down that path to build his kingdom, to make his kingdom come alive here on earth as it is in heaven. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's tough things that happen in life. In a group this large, there's tough things going on in your life today. And I want to encourage you, even though you walk through a difficult time, through a valley, a shadow of death, even though you walk through the valley, you don't have to fear any evil, for I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. They lead, they guide, they correct, they direct you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is amazing. Difficult things that are happening around us, God's there preparing a table for you. Getting things ready for you, providing for your needs within the midst of it. And then I love this next verse. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Typically, there's two reasons why a shepherd would anoint sheep's head with oil. One is because bugs and parasites, they go into sheep's ears, noses, eyes, harass them, bug them, drive them crazy. So the shepherd anoints their heads with oil so they don't go crazy listening to this buzzing and being annoyed and their senses being out of whack. Can any of you relate to that? Anything bugging you? Anything bugging you today, this past week, this past year? When you lay down at night, the things that keep you awake? Well, the good shepherd says, I don't want to anoint your head with oil to keep those things away from your mind that bug you. And another reason they would often anoint sheep's head with oil is because sheep tend to butt heads with each other. Anyone have some recent head butts with another sheep? It's life. Where there's people, believe me, there's problems. They come together. So when sheep would butt heads, it would be like a glancing blow. Little less friction. Little less friction when you do bump heads. You know, when we name Jesus as our Lord and our shepherd, we receive all of his grace poured out on us that is so undeserving, so that we can give that same grace that's poured out on us, so undeserving, to other people, so undeserving. That's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You feel that anointing oil? It's like, okay, don't take offense. Let it go. They're just people having a tough day. Let it go. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. That in all circumstances, I can say with a heart full of joy, I've got a shepherd who's taking care of my needs. I've got an optimistic view on my future because I have a shepherd who anoints my head with oil, and I don't see things half empty. I see things not even half full. Actually, it's overflowing and running over. That's the abundant life that Jesus came to pour out on us. That we would have exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could hope for or imagine. Because when we're under the care of the Good Shepherd, life is good. Life is good in that place. And I love how this verse ends. At the end of the chapter, this is how our hearts fill with hope. This is how you live a life that is filled with hope. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Do you hear that hope? Do you hear that eager expectation? Do you hear that confidence? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There isn't a dread. There isn't a worry. There isn't a concern. There isn't the waking sleepless nights. It's surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow the lives of my children. Surely goodness and mercy will follow the lives of the people in our church family. Surely goodness and mercy will follow the lives of the people in our community who are reached with the gospel of Jesus this week through VBS. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And wow, where is my destination? Where does this journey end? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a joy to know we can live here on earth in the midst of chaos with joy and peace on the inside. And just like Habakkuk said, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your great deeds. Lord, do it again. Do it again in our day. As we press into the Good Shepherd, may our heart's cry be, Lord, do it again. Do it again in me. Do it again through me. Do it again in our church body. And let your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.